Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Let's talk like that. Like
what?
Old white guys?
No.
Okay.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Trailblazers Podcast, the comic book club, where we read a different trade paperback every single week.
And that's a surprise.
I'm Daniel. You're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
Yes, we do. And that's how we learn about history, mainly, it seems like.
Was there some history here that you were enlightened to?
I just didn't know when Prohibition was.
I guess I didn't have an exact date, yeah. But I knew it was around here.
I didn't know if it was like after World War II, before. I knew it was like a thing that was kind of in that area, but
yeah.
Yeah, so I learned something reading Spider-Man Noir. And we're reading Spider-Man Noir because Nicolas Cage is coming back. He's going to be Spider-Man Noir version.
Yeah.
And we're watching the black and white version.
Absolutely. Not color like a bunch of bozos. Mm-hmm.
Even for this, I turned off colors and I made it black and white. I read it like that.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Didn't think about that until right now, but I should have done that.
Dude, what if they had Batman or Spider-Man Noir, you know?
So dude.
It was actually in black and white.
That would be awesome.
Like, what the fuck? I wonder if the other noir books were in black and white. Like, there's like Luke Cage Noir, there's like Punisher Noir.
A trade of, I think it's Daredevil Noir and Luke Cage Noir are like in one trade.
Mm-hmm.
And they're colored.
Mm.
I think Daredevil Noir would be kind of cool. I think all of them are kind of cool. I just like noir shit.
We call them people of color, Nathan.
I like some black and white books.
Anyway, no news this week because we are double recording.
Yes, we are.
But you can jump around. We're about to review the book, Spider-Man Noir. You can jump to Back Matter Matters or the poll list. What book do we read this week, Nathan?
Spider-Man Noir is by some dudes. Where's the name? Oh, David Hine with Fabrice Sapolsky, with art by Carmine D. Giandomenico and letters by Art Monkeys Studios. We've seen Carmine's work somewhere else, right? I just know the name, but I haven't looked up where. I think
he did something, maybe some like with Mark Miller or something.
I feel like it was with Chip for some reason. I'm gonna look it up now.
The Flash, Batman the Night.
The Night.
That like prequel thing that he did, that Chip did.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is that him?
Yeah.
Cool.
He did some of the issues of The Penguin.
Oh, yeah. Yep. With Tom King.
Mm-hmm.
So we've read that on here.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right.
So.
That's good.
Yeah. Oh. He's the guy on Deathstroke right now.
The Terminator?
Yeah, he's really good.
Cool.
That art was like the best part of that book, I thought.
Really?
It's like very impressive.
When
it kind of, I think this art style, like at this time, like whatever his
was sick
thing was, like it really works for like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's very like loose feeling. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of like Cary Andrews.
Yeah, I would agree.
I don't know if there was maybe like a demand for that kind of art style back then. I don't think that Iron Fist book was that old, but
mm-hmm.
This is cool. I don't even know what you'd call it necessarily, but
yeah, I don't know what you'd really call style, but it
looks like comics. You know?
This book in general is way better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I thought it was just going to be like, okay.
Yeah, me too. But I think I fuck with Spider-Man Noir because I really liked the series that just came out.
Yeah.
The Eric Larson one.
Yeah.
Really fun ideas.
Well, you're in luck, Nathan, because I think there's maybe one more Spider-Man Noir
one. I think there's like two more. So
you're eating good.
There's a lot of content there to consume. But dude, yeah, I don't know what I was expecting. But the only disappointment is he doesn't have the fucking hat.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't have the hat in this, dude. What am I even fucking doing here?
Dang.
When does he get the hat? Is there an origin for the hat?
There's a run in 2020. There's a hat.
There's a hat in that one.
Margaret Stahl and Juan Ferreira.
Cool. He's great. I'm sure Margaret's great too.
Definitely. When did I say that was?
2020.
There's Spider-Man Noir Eyes Without a Face. It's a cool title.
Uh-huh. I wonder who's fighting there.
That is same team as this one. So,
oh, nice. Like a sequel, maybe?
Yeah, I think, yeah. There's a couple, there's like some collections with like both of those, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, dude, you're set for like...
Oh, no, oh, like a week.
A week,
a week of reading.
You could be the biggest fan of Spider-Man Noir.
Dude, I think I am.
you read every Spider-Man Noir comic.
Dude, I could. I could collect all of them. It's probably not that expensive.
Dude, you're like 10 issues away.
Yeah, true. you're right.
I mean, this first appearance might be like a little pricey.
It probably can't be more than like $100 raw.
Probably not.
And do you think the main selling point was Spider-Man with gun? Because this first issue cover, it looks awesome.
Perhaps.
Maybe it was just like stealth Spider-Man or whatever.
I think people were very intrigued by Spider-Man with gun.
Yeah. I was. Do you think there's going to be...
Whoa, raw. Okay, Comic Geeks has this listed raw for $236.
Really?
Graded about $493.
About $493?
That's what they say.
But it's raw. So there's guessing?
Well, I think they have some way to track like what it goes for. You know? Like,
oh, graded for $493. Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah, raw. Do something.
You know, it'll be an investment for sure, but I could own all of the Spider-Man Noir, and then the Nicolas Cage series is probably going to be fine, or fine at least.
I think it'll be worth like just going through regardless.
100%. Do you think there's going to be an origin for the hat?
I don't think so. Let me see if they have the hat in the sequel series.
I need to know. I'm not reading if there's no hat in those ones.
I want the hat first appearance.
I want to see the shoehorned origin of a thing that doesn't really matter that much.
I would like to see the baby.
I would like to see the hat.
Ooh.
No hat?
There's a no hat in issue one.
Oh, but issue
cover,
two?
But issue two cover.
There's a hat?
There's a hat.
Dude, yeah. There's probably an origin for the hat in that issue.
Boom, baby.
Oh my God. You think he stole it from somebody? Dude, I have to read it.
Dude, what?
Unfortunately, I'm going to read it.
No, did you say unfortunately?
Unfortunately, I'm gonna read it all.
No, this seems like a good time.
Which what was that, the 2021 or the
it's from 2009. So it's like the next year after this.
I love that era of comics.
I think
the decade of comics I fuck with the most is
2000s. It's hard. I don't know if it's like just our generation or something. Because there's so many runs from that era that we fuck with.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if like a more seasoned reader likes that era as much.
Mm-hmm. Probably not, because I think a lot of people didn't like New 52 and shit like that.
Right. But should we get into it?
Yeah. Issue one. These are pretty dense issues, so there's a lot going on, but it's 1933. It opens with the police breaking into J. Jonah Jameson's office to see Jameson is bleeding and Spider-Man is hunched over him with a gun. So I was like, whoa, what happened there? And so time jumps back. J. Jonah Jameson tasks reporter Ben Urich with getting pictures of like city poverty. And so Ben takes pictures of gang members beating up on Peter Parker at a speech that his Aunt May was giving to the locals about socialism and stuff. But later, Urich brings Peter to the Black Cat Speakeasy, which is run by Felicia Hardy. And this is when Urich shows Peter all of the corruption at all levels of New York. You know, politicians and, you know, people like that. And Peter fights with the crime leader of all of this corruption, which is Norman Osborn, known as the Goblin, who is responsible for Uncle Ben's death. And, you know, after this, Urich hires Peter and they do a ton of work photographing stuff, but Ben Urich feels guilty because he knows about Uncle Ben's death and he was even there for when Uncle Ben was eaten by the Vulture, which is one of Goblin's henchmen.
Pretty bold to only have like 3 pages of Spider-Man stuff.
Yeah, it is.
In like a first issue.
And it's like, oh, he shot that guy.
Yeah.
But the twist, I think, is good enough to be like, oh, shit, what happened there?
Uh-huh.
So I think it's like a pretty fun twist because you could tell that morally is kind of a complex character just after this twist because he's involved with some of this crime stuff in some form or fashion, but you can tell that he's not a bad guy.
Yeah.
It's kind of like
he's a junkie.
He's a bit of a junkie. Do we find that out in this issue?
A bit of a junkie? Yeah, dude, he's fucking cooking like meth or something. Well, he's lining up a spoon. What do you think he's heating up his oatmeal?
In this issue?
Yeah.
I must have missed it.
You see this panel? What did you think that meant?
I thought that was yep. Yep, there's a spoon there.
And then you see a tourniquet on his arm?
Damn, he's a junkie.
You open up a drawer, there's like a paper.
Dude, I thought he was just working.
Working? Oh, he's even got a needle that going into the spoon. That means he's putting the drugs in there, Nathan.
When does he put in? Oh, yeah, he does. Damn, I was just reading way too fast then.
Is that heroin? I'm not sure.
Heroin, I think.
Probably heroin at the time. Dude.
Yeah, I thought he was just working in this middle.
How cool are the black webs?
They're awesome.
So sick. It works so well.
Yeah, I like black webs a lot. It doesn't make any sense. None of this makes sense. It
makes plenty of sense. What do you mean? He's Spider-Man Noir. That means black webs.
Black or white webs.
The spider knew what book this was.
Is it Black Webs in the movie? In Spider-Verse?
I don't know.
I'd have to see.
It should be.
I like the sass from Peter when he goes into the speakeasy and Felicia's like, are you old enough to drink? And Peter's basically like, you know, if you show me your liquor license, I'll show you my ID. And she's like, you know, fair enough.
Yeah.
I like the idea that...
You think the show will kind of like say something like kind of politically about like, because in this they're talking about how like it's like the depression or whatever, mm-hmm. and they're just talking about Aunt May and Peter, you know, like advocates or whatever of the poor people, mm-hmm. and whatnot. So I think there could be some parallels from things that happened back then and things that are happening now.
They better.
Does Amazon have the balls?
Yeah, I think so. I think if they want it to be good, they should do that. Because obviously it's like Great Depression era, and that could, you know, create some interesting storytelling angles for Spider-Man. I think they would. I also think just this era is probably the best for like detective stories.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think, I mean, like going forward, detective stories will not be as juicy as they were. Because there's going to be just like cameras everywhere. And people will just be like, well, why wouldn't they just look at the camera? Or like look at the phone records or something like that.
You know what I mean? The Reckless books, he's like a PI. And those are set in like the 80s.
Yeah.
And
so still so some it's like very analog technology if you need to like record a statement.
You can find a lot of like info from like a library, you know. And just by being...
That's a good era too.
Being 80s. Homies with some people, you know.
Yeah. I like that Norman Osborn... like leads, he's like the kingpin of like this crime group, but the crime group is all carnies, and the carnies are like typical Spider-Man villains.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Sinister Six in a way.
Yeah, because like Kraven is he's like an animal tamer for like Carnival, or you know, Vulture's there, and he eats people. But I think it works.
Yeah, and so it's one of those like corruption things where like. The elite, like, kind of pay the goblin to, like, kind of suppress socialists and stuff like that. And, like, everyone's in on it, like, the cops and, like, the papers and stuff.
Yeah, the Bugle's in on it.
So, it's, like, it's pretty solid setup for a gangster.
Yeah. They've approached it from all angles. J. Jonah Jameson has, like, a full-on Hitler stash. But I guess since it's before World War II, it was, like, kind of chill still.
Yeah. It was fashion.
He didn't realize that was on the way out.
He's very popular.
But he was fine. He was fine at this point.
Yeah, I wonder what happened that made that go out of style.
Yeah. I was going to say, I like the socialist version of May and Parker. I think it makes a lot of sense that Peter would, like, that he would take an interest in photography to like expose injustices and stuff like that. Because I feel like
he doesn't really seem like that interested in it. It just seems like he's helping Ben.
He is,
so
but
kind of gets in that way.
That's why he's a photographer though. Because I feel like in other like standard, he just likes photography and then he gets a job because he likes photography. But I like the approach of he's using it to help take down these bad guys that are corrupt and stuff.
Take down the man
with pictures.
Yeah.
In a red room. I love a good red room.
It's kind of crazy because there was like a building on fire, but I don't know if that was this issue or whatever.
It was the next one, I think, but yeah.
But the building doesn't look that red, like, because of fire, you know? But it only gets really red when they're in the red room, you know?
Right.
And it seemed kind of odd.
We see Uncle Ben is, like, dead on the floor, and we see, like, the scene where Peter finds him.
Yeah, he thought he was mauled by dogs or something.
Yeah, that was, like, the story. But, dude, his ribs are cracked open.
Yeah, it's, like, alien.
It is crazy. Yeah, it looks like a...
I was like, yeah, xenomorphs here.
It does look like a xenomorph popped out of Uncle Ben's chest.
That'd be quite the twist.
That would be awesome. Spider-Man Noir X Alien. But yeah, issue two. So Parker shows up to Ben Urich's house. Ben Urich is fully on heroin, so he's kind of zoned out. But the phone rings, so Peter answers and he gets a tip about where to find some goblins men to take pictures of. So Spider-Man or Peter goes to a warehouse and Goblin's men are like carrying this case and they drop it and there's a bunch of spiders that come out and they start to eat and kill some of the people there. And one of the spiders bites Peter and it throws him into this like weird vision with this like big demonic spider that says that the demon spider says that he's going to spare Parker because he's like a good person.
He brings death to those who
deserve it,
have evil intent.
Mm-hmm. So, big demon spider vibe checks Peter. He passes. And Peter wakes up in a web cocoon and he has powers and agility and stuff. And so later, Ben Urich goes in for a meeting with the goblin. And Peter, with some face coverings and stuff, ambushes them. And he sees Urich there, but he has to escape when more men show up. And this motivates Urich to stop working with the goblin, and he arranges to meet with J. Jonah Jameson to give evidence against the goblin. And so J. Jonah Jameson shows up at Ben's house, and he shoots him, because he's also corrupt. But then it reports back to the goblin with the news.
So they can't prove that the fires were, like, intentional?
Yeah.
Or like intentional insurance scams, you know, because like everyone's like in on it, you know, so
yeah, at all levels and parts, it was just like an insurance payout.
Peter was quoting like Uncle Ben and his thoughts on like the war. And he's like, he said like the Great War was a war for the markets and there was no great cause.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, so people knew, you know?
Yeah. People were aware for sure.
The quote was, those in power can't be trusted, and it's a responsibility of the people to remove them. Mm-hmm. It's a little rewording of the phrase.
Yeah.
It doesn't roll off the tongue as well. But
yeah, not as catchy. But it's not like an egregious rework of it. You know, it's still in the spirit of what Ben typically says. And
I guess the statue was cursed that they were like moving.
Yeah. And so the spiders in there.
Yeah. They just, instead of those peanut things, they just had like spiders like keeping it from.
I guess so. I do think it's interesting though that they're like spiders that will only kill you if you're like evil.
But there's also like hundreds that attack that dude.
So he could have just died from normal spider bites.
Probably.
I'm sure they have
one
some sort
fine,
of venom.
You know?
Yeah. One is chill.
There like some thread of lore where there's like a spider god or something?
Probably.
I think that's something in like the 90s and around like the Clone Saga. I don't think people really liked it that much, but
yeah, I think a good part about that story is that it feels like it could have happened to anybody.
What?
Just like getting bit by a spider or whatever. Like it was like a random event. And I think that's a part of it. And he chooses to do good with it.
I kind of was wondering if he had like was already like Spider-Man, but was just doing his normal things, you know? And only like, you know, in like the first issue, I'm like, oh, maybe he's Spider-Man right now. But he just hasn't been put in a situation where he like needs to be Spider-Man.
What the hell are you talking about?
I thought it was possible that Peter was already Spider-Man at the beginning of this.
Oh,
like I didn't think there was book. there was going to be an origin.
Right.
Until there was.
Got it.
You know?
Like it was going to be revealed that like, oh, I have web powers and I can.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I see.
It was something where like Ben Yurk is in trouble and then Spider-Man comes and saves the day. And then he's like, where the fuck's Peter?
Then he shoots Ben. Because he's got a gun and he hasn't used it.
Yeah, he shoots J. Jonah Jameson and Ben.
Yeah.
He's out of control.
Speaking of J. Jonah Jameson, it's who'd have thought that the guy with the Hitler stash would be the bad guy?
Yeah.
Also, when Peter like first gets his powers, he wakes up in like a cocoon of black webs. And then he gets out. And he realizes that he has his like awesome agility and he does like a flip out of it and stuff. And when he does that, he like lands and he's like, I'll be damned. And then he just like starts serving face like that. And I think it's really funny.
There's a cool thing with this art, like in action panels, there's like a blur like around the outside when like shit's like moving fast.
Yeah, that's and cool.
It works really well.
Mm-hmm. Makes it look very fast.
I feel like that was something that was used.
Oh.
Around this time.
Blurring. You know?
Yeah.
When they figured out how to do it. I do think that the snow in this book is distracting.
And not it's great. A little overused, perhaps.
I do think it's overused and no one really looks snowy ever.
Yeah, they just kind of look like dandruffy.
Tons of dandruff.
I'm like, around them. This is fucking, it's not even snow, it's asbestos.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, they didn't know how bad it was back then. I do not like the spider sense visual.
Well, oh, it's like a
weirdly drawn
logo
spider on his face. Like, I get what they're going for, and it like makes sense that they thought that would work.
It should have been black,
dude. It should have been black because he's noir.
I think I've seen Ben Yurk die too many times.
He's a good character, man.
I love Ben Yurk. I think he was so good in like the Daredevil show.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's so good, and that actor's awesome. Yeah, man, he's a good character. I feel like he's a good litmus test for seeing if people know ball.
Oh yeah,
like if someone is saying like, "Oh, I know so much about Marvel or whatever."
What do you know about Ben Yurk?
Yeah, tell me about Ben Yurk. What do you know about him? And maybe like the Daredevil show throws that litmus test off a little bit.
I feel like it's been enough time to where like you could just forget his name, you know?
Oh, totally.
Because we're like reminded of him because he's in like other things.
He's in like Civil War and
front lines and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but yeah, I think he's always been a good character.
I would never really be that dude to quiz somebody.
I wouldn't either.
Comics, you know?
But I was just thinking about like
being quizzed.
And well, I was thinking about it because he's such like a, I don't know, B-level human character. You know, there's like the good A-list human people.
Mary Jane,
Aunt May.
Well,
Alfred.
Right.
You know, people like that. But Ben Yurk's like, it feels like a step below that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had a thought, Daniel, and I wanted to share it with you.
About Ben Yurk. Okay.
And how he's like frequent, but not like super frequent. Anyway, issue 3. So Peter finds Ben Yurk dead. And he's like, that sucks. And Felicia Hardy invites Peter to the Black Cat speakeasy and he gives Peter the Yurk files. He tells him not to go to the Bugle with them because they're corrupt. But Peter ends up like using these files to disrupt some crime operations as Spider-Man through the next couple weeks. The Goblin gets pissed and he has the Bugle paint Spider-Man as a menace in the papers. And so when Spider-Man goes to confront J. Jonah Jameson about these like papers, he's already been shot and we see that scene from the first issue. So it kind of feels like a setup in a way. The police barge in, Spider-Man has to escape. But later at the morgue, Spider-Man discovers that J. Jonah Jameson was actually the chameleon posing as J. Jonah Jameson. And it turns out the real Jameson has been a hostage to the Goblin for a while. And he just got Felicia Hardy too. So then back at Peter's home, the Vulture is there about to attack Aunt May.
I didn't expect the chameleon in this.
I didn't either.
I also didn't know about the chameleon before Kraven.
I knew about him, but you don't see him much. And I thought that him being Kraven's half-brother was just a movie thing.
No.
But that's real shit. That's real ball knowledge, I guess. So that's kind of funny.
The bit where he's, you know, using the information, Ben's, like, files to stop crimes was really neat.
Mm-hmm.
And it,
I think it's
just,
cool.
Like, a good, like, setup for him to be doing some vigilante stuff, because how else would you know about
a
lot of
exactly.
this?
I think the story moves in a very natural feeling way.
And then
I think it's cool.
And then before the Jameson reveal, like, it almost, like, kind of made sense that the bugle is ripping into Spider-Man, because it was, like, a reason. Yeah, like,
it gives him reason to think that Spider-Man's corrupt.
Right.
And I feel like that,
because normally he just doesn't like Spider-Man for some reason.
Yeah, he just got beef.
Yeah, because, and that's just his character. But here, right. I'm like,
that totally
is a purpose.
Yeah, it connects in such a good way.
Totally.
So, I'm really impressed with, like, how they twist a lot of the Spider-Man mythology to make it work.
Yeah, it works
in a
really
more believable
well.
Way.
Totally.
So I also really appreciated that. But something, and then there's, you know, on the other side of that, there's stuff like Spider-Man's stopping all these, like, crimes from happening, and he leaves calling cards as if he thinks that no one's going to understand that a bad guy that was webbed up against a wall.
Well, also, like, Ben Urich had, like, a code name of the spider for some reason.
Yeah, he did. But when you find this guy webbed up to a wall, you're not going to think, like, who did this? You know? Because in my head, Peter's like, oh, I better leave a calling card so people know that it was me.
Yeah.
But, bro, he's webbed up to a wall with black webs.
So there's a part at the end of this where May goes into Peter's room, and there's just, like, support beam that goes across his room.
Yeah.
And that's where Vulture is.
Mm-hmm.
But if she's walking into the room, she's going to see Vulture on top of that thing.
Maybe he was on the roof and then he went down.
She walks, like, under it.
Didn't even notice that, yeah.
And I'm like, how did she not see him?
You know, yeah, she probably would have seen him, for sure.
I just thought that was funny.
That is a funny point.
I'm like, he's right there. He's like, maybe he's in the shadows or something.
He's definitely
being
in your cone of vision. Yeah, that's the only believable thing, is that the lights are off. But there's a part in this where Peter talks to May. And she talks about how, like, Yurik died. And she's like, I know that you guys were, like, working together and whatnot. And she says, I don't know what he did or didn't do, but he did right by you. So you do right by him. You hear me? And she gets very serious. And I'm like, is she implying that Peter should go kill some people?
Like,
what could that possibly
mean? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, like, do you want him to go?
It seems like you know everything we know.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought that was a very, like, intense moment. And I'm like, what is she even implying here other than go kill those guys?
Spider-Man Noir, his whole costume is just Uncle Ben's old, like, military uniform, mm-hmm. like, restitched or whatever. And so his mask has, like, a bunch of stitching. I guess that's to kind of make it look like the web pattern or whatever.
Yeah.
It just looks very Tim Burton-y to me, you know, with, like, Catwoman having, like, stitches and everything.
Yeah. I can see that.
I wonder if that was, I doubt that was, like, what they were thinking of, but it just makes me think of that.
Do you think Norman Osborn has cornrows in every universe?
Yeah, dude, he's got the
horizontal.
He's got the fucking waves, dude. They had do-rags back then.
Do you think we'll ever see a live action Norman with waves?
I think they do it in that neighborhood Spider-Man show.
Yeah, the animated one.
I think because they're black, so that's one thing.
I mean, it doesn't hit the same.
Hey, it's got to be a white guy. More sense. Yeah,
I want the white guy to culturally appropriate it. That's how you really know he's evil. It's crazy that the Osborn files are in this book. Like, this book is way ahead of its time.
Yeah. Release the Osborn files, because he's really distraught about it getting out.
Yeah, he's like, we do not want these files to be released.
Yeah,
it's got all the names in there. There's a Daily Bugle depiction of what Spider-Man looks like, and it's just a spider with, like, a suit on or whatever. But they also gave him a gun, and I just think it's funny that this like weird man spider creature has like shoes on and stuff, and yeah. that he would only have one gun despite him having like eight limbs.
Dude, I want to like read a comic that has like man spider in it, like really
man spider noir. Or are you just saying like a regular man spider?
Just man spider in general.
Yeah, there's supposed to be a few.
Yeah, I think
because people are really thinking that man spider is supposed to be in this new movie, or
yeah, thought so. I'm down for reading a man spider book like around then.
Yeah, let's do it. That sounds fun. And then last issue, Daniel. So Spider-Man shows up at home and he finds the Vulture holding Aunt May hostage. Spider-Man shoots the Vulture, and then Aunt May gives him shit for like trying to be above the law. And I'm like, what are you pissed at? He just saved your life, but whatever. Spider-Man uses the Osborn files to find where the Goblin keeps people hostage. And so he goes there, and then we find out that Felicia Hardy was actually the one that shot Jameson after seeing him shoot Ben Urich when she was at his place that night that he was shot. And then before the Goblin can like actually hurt Felicia and Jameson, Spider-Man steps in. There's a big fight. We see the Spider-Man chase Norman into the sewer, and we find out that Norman's face is actually fake. And he does actually look like a goblin, which is how he got the name. He's been wearing a fake face. But Norman gets eaten by some spiders in the sewer that Kraven brings to him. And Spider-Man, you know, unveils the corruption in the paper, and everything gets fixed, and he continues to be Spider-Man. It's a lot of wrap-up.
I mean, Norman Osborn kind of looks more like Killer Croc.
Nah, I can see a goblin.
I guess so.
Croc is scaly. He seems more lumpy than that, but I could see Croc.
But it's like very green, you know?
Yeah. There's the opening scene where he shoots the Vulture. The Vulture's like, do you think you're fast enough to stop me from snapping her neck? And then like the next page is him saying no, and then he draws the gun and shoots him. But like these three panels where he just, it seems like he's blank faced, but he has a mask on. He says no, and then he draws it and shoots him. I just thought that was done really well.
Kraven accidentally like shoots his own monkey.
Yeah, dude. No, Parker throws the monkey, or Spider-Man throws the monkey at him. I don't think he knew that
Spider-Man's to blame for that.
I think Spider-Man's to blame.
It's probably more
because the monkey's on him. He's like, oh shit, and then his spider sense goes off because there's a person about to shoot him, and he throws the monkey that direction.
That could have been a distraction kind of thing.
I think
if he sees a monkey being thrown towards him,
I don't think he wanted the monkey to get shot at. I think he wanted to, yeah, distract him with a monkey being
That's
thrown
what I'm
at
going with.
Okay, yeah, okay. But if a monkey dies, is that a bad book? Or are we cool with monkeys? I mean, we've read books with monkeys dying. I don't know, good Planet book. Of the Apes.
That's true.
The monkey's probably exempt. Dude, Ben Urich was bagging Felicia Hardy.
Attaboy. Is that her name? Hardy?
Yeah, Felicia Hardy.
Okay, I didn't really know that. I didn't really expect her to be in this either, but it's kind of cool that
I like how they
she's got like a cat hooters, you know, speakeasy.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, I thought it was just to like throw in another name, but the way that they incorporated her into the story, I thought worked pretty well. Cause
yeah,
her being there when Urich was shot, unbeknownst to, you know, the Chameleon, and then her later going to shoot Jameson, which is why he was shot in the first place.
Mm.
I think that reveal is kind of cool.
Yeah, but the way like everything and all the characters like work in this would be pretty hard to top when it comes to like just the other noir books that there are totally. For Marvel.
Yeah.
So pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I think this was like super good as far as like an Elseworlds Spider-Man type book. So I like this character, even though he doesn't really use his gun that much. I think he retires it after this. But then in the Eric Larson one, he's shooting people all over the place. And I'm kind of cool with that too, because they're Nazis, but
yeah.
So yeah, I'll be interested to see how they do it in the show.
How's it going to Back Matter Matters?
Back Matter Matters.
Great covers.
Mm-hmm.
We got this Dennis Calero guy.
Yeah, he's awesome.
He's doing some great black and white and red colors, covers. And dude, what's confusing is in the character designs, he has a hat. Do you see this shit? What happened to the hat?
Dude.
I feel like we got robbed.
They're like, let's hang on to this.
Maybe they were just like, what I imagined happened is they were like, he's going to be investigating with all these files and stuff. Let's give him a detective hat. And it looks good aesthetically, obviously. But maybe they thought it's too Rorschach or something.
And
they took it off, but then they just got over it. That's my theory. But yeah, you get some character designs. Norman one has the waves.
Of course. Cover sketches.
Yep.
Page layouts.
Some good back matter.
Yeah. Like
for a book that's like 100 pages, they fit a lot in here and have good back matter. So this is pretty, this is a banger.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Less is more sometimes.
It really is. They did a lot to, I mean, some of it felt kind of dense at times, but for the most part, it being like 100 pages, it's like, that's good dense. Yeah,
that was I enjoyed reading this.
Okay, good.
It was a joyous read.
quite.
Yes.
What would you rate to this book?
I give it a pint in a speakeasy.
Ooh.
You know, during Prohibition.
Nice.
I don't know if it had a little different. Pints and speakeasy. It always seems like beer is like
they
limited when you go to a speakeasy.
They probably had beer.
Probably, but I think,
I mean, it's mostly just liquor, I would assume.
Yeah, like if you're
probably
if you're in a secret place, you probably want to get drunk fast. You know,
yeah, true.
In case it gets busted.
Uh-huh. That's a good point.
But that's not who I am.
I would rate this a cigarette at a diner with a waffle.
Again,
have I said that before?
Probably. I feel like you.
Any detective story, it's just a cigarette at a diner.
Yeah, I think the last crime book we did.
Okay, fine.
You, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, you're right. I'm gonna do that.
Good. What do you think the fine people on League of Comic Geeks?
I hope this one's rated highly, but I feel like I'm losing the consensus of the general population.
So
this is probably like a 4.4.
Okay. So disclaimer on this one. So the trade paperback and the hardcover came out like around the same time, but they have different ratings for some reason.
Mm.
So the trade paperback was 3.9, but the hardcover is 4.4.
Mm.
So I'm not sure why
it's different,
I guess, but because it has the same story and like
really
same amount of pages and stuff.
So maybe that did one come out after Spider-Verse?
No.
Hmm.
I think the collection of these two like minis like came out more recently, but I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, this was good, man. I expected it to be like kind of a good time, but the way that they just incorporated a lot of this stuff into the Spider-Man mythos, I think was really natural.
I was really just more interested in the first appearance kind of stuff, but it ended up just being a really solid trade.
Yeah, 100%.
So let's get into the poll list. Colin,
shove it in your box.
The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
So the week of May 13th,
Absolute Batman 20. I'm going to try and catch up pretty soon here.
Absolute Martian Manhunter 11.
Yup. Does that end at 12?
Yes.
Cool.
Archie in the Army of Darkness, number 4.
Nice. Are you going to get Firestorm 2? Did you get Firestorm 1?
Nope.
Okay, never mind. Probably won't get 2 then. We got... That's probably it.
Did you read anything extra this week?
Undiscovered Country is still coming out.
Oh, wow.
Why is number 36 coming out? That's crazy.
It's after 35. I don't know. Maybe there's a delay with the art or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it.
Did you read anything on top of our double week?
I did not.
Did you watch anything?
I watched The Boys.
The Boys.
I started watching The Boys, yeah. Nice. Last season. I watched all 3 episodes that I think are out.
Mm-hmm.
At the time of recording. Pretty strong start.
Yeah.
Honestly. We're eating good with shows.
Definitely.
It feels
on
like.
Wednesdays.
On Wednesdays, yeah, specifically. But yeah, show's good. It seems like, I think Kumiko talking is a little bit jarring still.
Yeah.
I like that actress. I think she does a really good job with Kumiko, but just like the personality that they've given her is a little bit silly.
We got Teenage Kicks, finally.
Teenage Kicks, yeah.
In the last season, which is odd.
That was the only, like, ball knowledge I really knew about the boys to drop onto Sophia.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's like their Teen Titans.
And they're, like, influencers, and they do, like, dances.
That is hilarious. They just, like, do product placements.
There's,
and
like,
sponsored.
A dance where he's, like, sit the fuck down. You know? I actually laughed out loud at that.
That's funny.
And then there's, like, a character who's got, like, all these sponsors on his, like...
Yeah, he looks like a race car driver or something.
Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, I like that they had like A-Train on the Wall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
That was cool. And Jensen Ackles is so good as Soldier Boy.
He's awesome.
He's so electric, and he feels like he's in a different era of like this universe just because of how stern he is.
Yeah.
And like just the weird shit that he says.
Mm-hmm.
He calls people like pussy boys or whatever. Whatever he says.
I like that scene where the Deep was like talking to the invisible kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, Homelander didn't kill your dad. No cap on God, bro.
Yeah, he tries to connect to them. They have him doing the just crazy stuff. Or like he's doing the ads for like the perineum. Like the Tanner thing, the butthole tan.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, they really got him in a crazy position for that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good, man. I like that Mother's Milk got to kill the dick guy.
Mm-hmm.
What was that dude's name?
Love Sausage.
Love Sausage. Yeah, he got to kill him. That was neat. And I thought that the super virus thing was just going to be like, they're going to come up with some sort of way to not actually use it until the very, very end of the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I like how that has developed with like some people being immune if you have V1 or whatever. I think that works.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Definitely. Did you watch anything else?
No. What'd you watch?
Sometimes when I like take an edible on the weekend and take like too much and I really can't do anything except for watch stuff.
Okay.
I watched like the season finale for season one of BoJack Horseman, and it's like the funniest fucking episode for some reason.
Have you seen all of that?
No, I'm like slowly going through it.
Oh, cool.
There's like a... Have you seen any of it?
Just clips. I do want to watch it. I think it'd be really good.
So there's a character, Diane, who wrote a memoir for BoJack, and it's like popular or whatever, and she like is getting like an offer to write a book for this dude who like does humanitarian work overseas or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But her boyfriend, Mr. Peanut Butter, who's like the dog, doesn't want her to go out of country to do this because it'd be for like a couple months. And she's like, I want to do something good. He's like, I want to poop in a bucket sometimes. And he's like, no one actually wants to poop in a bucket. And he's like, maybe I want to poop in a bucket. And then she's like, Mr. Peanut Butter is like, if you want, we can get you a bucket to poop in. And it's just such a stupid scene, but I thought it was so fucking
You're probably funny. Fucking dying.
Yeah. That whole episode is just genius. And I think it like starts to get like funnier, but there were some episodes where I'm like, maybe I don't even like the show, you know?
Yeah.
But that was a good one.
Oh, I did watch the last two episodes of Smiling Friends.
Aren't they doing more?
No, they canceled the show and they released more, two. No, they just released like the two episodes that they had, made that were going to be for season four. But they just tacked it on the end of the last season.
For sure.
And those are good episodes.
Nice.
There was like a genuine laugh out loud moment for me in there where like Alan goes on a date.
Oh, yeah. I saw a clip.
Yeah, that clip. I was fucking dying because it's so funny how much emotion Alan has. And
she just like loves the color red. Yeah. He's like, I'm red.
Right? But I'm red. And like it says like that. And she starts like licking the wine in like a really weird sucked up way. And his jaw drops.
Yeah.
That's a good episode. So good show.
I watched a movie called Escape from New York, which is a John Carpenter movie. It's got Kurt Russell in it.
Yeah, the Kurt Russell. Okay, yeah.
So it's the plot is like
it's a John Carpenter film.
Huh?
That's it.
Yeah, he did like a lot of action movies in the 80s.
Oh, interesting.
With Kurt Russell specifically, I think. And the plot is like for some reason, crime goes up like 400% in America. And for some reason, they turn just the city of Manhattan into like a super jail where you just, they just drop prisoners there and then leave them.
Makes sense.
It's in the dystopian future of 1997.
Hey, good year. That's when I was born.
The Twin Towers are still there.
Yeah.
But the thing is that some people who don't think the jail is like, I don't know, just, they hijack a plane and crash it into a building.
No way.
And I was like, oh,
no.
I was like, oh, the Twin Towers, but they still crash it into a building. Not the Twin Towers, but
they fly past the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Like, and, that was close.
And the president was on, it was Air Force One was the plane. And so the president, like,
damn,
he's just shot out of a pod and is in just New York.
Cool.
And so they send Kurt Russell, who has probably like a top 10 fiction character name. His name is Snake Plissken.
Plissken?
Plissken.
That's crazy.
I'm like, sick name.
Snake.
He's got an eye patch and they, he's, I don't know why. I think he's got like a lot of like an extensive record, but they send him in to go find the president or whatever. It's like an okay movie. I kind of expected to like it a little bit more.
Yeah, people like it in general.
Like, it's not like the best like dystopian future thing, but it probably looked really cool in like the 80s.
Yeah, maybe people like the idea of like a prison town.
Right. It kind of makes more sense for like Staten Island to be like the prison.
Yeah.
In New York.
Block the bridges.
Because it's an actual island, you know?
Yeah.
And probably.
I didn't think about that.
Less important, I guess, than Manhattan, but.
Wow.
No shade, but, you know.
Bold take. So you're saying when they crashed the plane, they had a pod
that
built into the plane.
Yeah.
So they expected this to happen at some point.
Just in case, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I bet whoever ideas that was like,
yes, told you. Gets $20 from his coworker. Yeah.
And so what's funny about it is, so John Carpenter, he does the score for a lot of his movies.
That guy's awesome, dude.
And it's very 80s, but sometimes the score kind of feels misplaced in certain scenes. Like there'll be like big action shooting, punching, but it'll be just like this like 80s synth going on. And it's like and I'm just like, it seems like it should be a little bit more intense.
He maybe should have like hired somebody to do it, but yeah. He does like a lot of stuff with all of his movies,
because right?
he like edits and stuff too. I think
he did like the first Halloween movie, and I think he did like
he did the famous one. Yeah
There's actually some synth parts that kind of sounded like that.
Mm-hmm. That's all he's got.
I guess so.
He just muscle memories that.
Yeah. I don't know. I just had a specific interest in watching that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on Prime, so.
Neat.
But anyway, Nathan, what are we going to read next week?
What are we going to read next week?
This will be the episode we record when you get back.
When I get back from Japan,
we'll be back
on a man of the world.
Yep.
I don't know. What should we read? What's coming out?
So I wanted to do He-Man because that movie comes out. But it most recently went to Dark Horse. So everything else before that is just
gone.
Apparently it was at DC for like a long time.
Yeah.
And every time I looked up like, oh, good He-Man stuff. It was like, oh, the DC stuff. I'm like, I can't get it. And so that's a bit of a bummer. The only stuff that there's out are like prequels for that cartoon that came out a couple years ago that Kevin Smith did. And I don't know. Those are like, okay. I like read like one issue. So I'm okay with just doing something like random, or unless you want to do something specific.
Let's do some random.
Okay. Should we go to the...
Let's go to the good old spreadsheet.
The sheet.
Let's spread some sheets.
Here, hold on one sec.
I need to add some stuff to that list.
You want me to click it, or do you want to click it?
I want to click it.
Okay.
My turn.
Sarah's had to put Lucas down three times since we've recorded.
Wow. Which one is it? Random picks? And
yeah.
I click it. Kazar and Shauna.
Ooh.
Why did you write that?
Kazar. Because
the fucking lion thing?
The lion thing?
Isn't there Kazar and Marvel? Is that what it is?
Hold on.
Yeah, Kazar and Shauna. Yeah. Why did you want to read Kazar and Shauna?
Because it'd be cool, I think. How do you spell that?
I think there's like an apostrophe in there.
Oh, K-Zar.
K-Zar? Mm-hmm. Or K-A-Zar?
Maybe there's one specifically, like Kazar and Shauna one.
There's a Kazar by Mark Waid and Andy Kubert.
Oh, cool. See? Doesn't that sound cool?
No. Isn't that a lion?
No, it's like
the dude.
And
there's a lion, not a lion, a tiger thing in there. Is it because you wanted to read Savage Land stuff?
Kinda.
Let me see. This is probably the one that you thought of.
The Mark Waid one?
Yeah, I think so. Because Shauna's in there.
Oh, okay. 1997. Are you cool with that, or do you want to veto?
I mean, the spreadsheet spoke, so we got to go with it. I got to add some stuff in that spreadsheet, though.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, if that's the one that you're talking about, or if you don't know, we can choose another one, but...
Is there a free one?
There's a Savage Dawn Kazar, but I don't think Shauna's in it. Oh, yeah, no, she is. It's by Bruce Jones.
That seems a little too old.
Does it? I think it's newer. Oh, no, it's 1980s.
What if we pick out something else on the sheet?
Okay.
And then...
All right, you do it then.
We'll see. Okay. Batman RIP.
What is that? Oh, that's the Grant Morrison one.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Rather do that?
Sure.
Okay.
I never read this one.
Yeah, bye.
With Tony Daniel?
I assume so. How long is this?
It's pretty long, I think.
213? That's not bad.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's do that.
About 7 issues. All right.
Sweet.
Do I have this? Is it too soon to do another Batman thing?
When did we last do Batman?
Gotham by Gaslight.
Oh, shit. Yeah, maybe. Give it one more roll. And we'll decide.
All right, one more pick. Legion?
Like X-Men Legion? Yeah. Or okay. That sounds cool.
Let's see what we got. Might be kind of hard to find.
Yeah, there's a lot of books called Legion. Legion comic. There's a Simon Spurrier one. I think this is the one, isn't it?
Cy Spurrier? That seems kind of
more new, recent, doesn't it? I mean, it's 2012.
Cy Spurrier's been around since then?
I guess so.
What's like the best one? I want like the hair, you know?
I mean, this one has the crazy hair.
Let me see the cover. Son of X. Okay.
But it seems like that's not the origin of the crazy hair, but he probably has it. It's rated well. It's got Mike Del Mundo. He's great.
How long is it?
Let me see.
Where'd you find that? Comixology?
Yeah, I just looked up Legion comic.
Is that unlimited?
Nope. It's 130 pages.
That's doable.
I don't think the origin of this character was in a book called Legion.
Yeah, probably not.
It'd probably just be some random X-Men book from Claremont, but I'm cool with this one. One of the reviews says the best Marvel book I've read.
Wow. How long was that show? Is that 2 seasons?
I think so. Aubrey Plaza was in the second season.
Was she?
And then I never watched it.
Hmm.
Or no, she was in the first season too, I think.
I remember watching that and just being confused.
I think it'd be a good rewatch.
Oh, yeah. Because it's
that Dan dude. What's his name?
Nate? Or
no. The actor's name is Dan.
Oh. Yeah, it's that guy. But the guy who makes Fargo did that show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Legion, Son of X.
Son of X.
Cool.
Sounds good. Hope I can find it on like Hoopla or something, but who wrote that?
Cy Spurrier.
All right. Is it S-I?
Here, it calls him by his government, Simon Spurrier.
He spells Spurrier.
I don't know. S-P-U-R-R-I-E-R.
Okay. All right. We'll do that then.
Cool.
Sounds good. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching, everybody. You've got a link tree in the bio. You can like, comment, subscribe. Email in at triverspod@gmail.com. Let us know what your favorite noir comic is.
Yeah, what's the best Marvel noir? Marvel, it's probably noir. This, but is there another good one?
Yeah, let us know. Should we do a noir month?
Dude, great idea. 100 bullets in there. Get some the David Laffam one. What's that one called?
Is that crime? You mean like stray bullets?
Stray bullets, yeah.
That's bullet no, month.
Bullet month.
Whoa. 100 bullets, stray bullets.
That's it. That's all of them. Nah. And we read those twice.
All right. And goodbye.
Goodbye.